You're listening to the Revolution Church Podcast. To learn more, including our gathering times in Crossville, Tennessee, visit us at crossvillerevolution.com.
All right, Rev Church, everybody say, yeah, buddy. So good to see everybody this weekend. Hopefully you're not hungover from that awesome game last night. How many of y'all watched that game, man? 65-0 at halftime. Incredible. Nobody? Come on, y'all. I don't know. We got a bunch of lost people in here if you're not UT fans. You know what I'm saying? So we're praying you get saved today. So just joking. Just joking. Today might be the day, though. Hey, we got a lot of scripture to go over today, so we're going to get right into it. We are nearing the end of a series. I think we've been in this series almost 20 weeks where we've went through the book of Proverbs. If you're new to Rev Church, what we do is not real complicated. We think the Bible is great and awesome and magnificent all by itself, and we don't need to help it any. So what we do almost all the time is we preach verse by verse through entire books of the Bible. Now, we are in the book of Proverbs, and Proverbs has been a little different because it's written in a genre that's known as Hebrew poetry. And there are certain subjects in Proverbs that have up to 50 verses sprinkled throughout all 31 chapters of Proverbs. So rather than go verse by verse through the whole book of Proverbs, what we've done instead the majority of the time is we've taken subjects and encapsulated all those scriptures and pulled them out so we could see what the totality of the book of Proverbs has to say about the subjects. That's how we've done this series. It's been a little different because Hebrew poetry is a little different than any other genre. Right now, we're really in a two-week mini-series inside the series of the book of Proverbs because there are over 50 verses that Proverbs deals with money on. And so last week, we did week one. We couldn't get through all 50 verses in 1 week. We did week one of talking about what Proverbs says about money. And this week is week number two of what Proverbs says about money. Everybody say money. Money. Look at your neighbor and say cheddar cheese. Look at your other neighbor and say it's all about the Benjamins. Come on, y'all. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Let's be honest, for most of us, it's not all about the Benjamins, it's all about the Washingtons, amen, y'all? So I want us to have a good attitude today. You guys were so incredible last week as we dealt with this subject, and understand that I get that statistically, money is the one subject in churches that people don't want talked about, but the Bible has so much to say about it. And the book of Proverbs, if you remember, is wisdom on life. This is God trying to help us in how we manage our finances, our view of what money is in our life. So we're going to pick up right where we left off last week, and we're going to talk about the subject of money as it pertains to, first, several major points, sub-points underneath them, four major points, sub-points underneath them. First, we're going to talk about greed. Everybody say greed. Greed, many different definitions. Proverbs talks about three different types of people that are in this world, and every person in this room falls into one of these three categories. It talks about wise people, it talks about foolish people, and then it talks about evil people. One of the attributes of evil people is greed. Greed is really, the Bible gives the best definition when it says, the love of money is the root of all evil. Now, let me clarify that. Money is not the root of all evil. The love of money is the root of all evil. The attitude that we have towards money is what will cause us to have a downfall. It is the root of all evil. First, when it comes to greed, Proverbs says greed leads to corrupt money. It leads to corrupt money. Now, I'm not going to go real far into this because we've covered this extensively when we did a sermon on lying, and I think we actually quoted this verse, but Proverbs 11:1 says, "The Lord detests the use of dishonest scales, but he delights in accurate weights." He's talking about people that would sell things in the market, and their scales would be off, and people would end up paying more than they were supposed to. The Lord detests this. Secondly, Proverbs tells us that greed leads to jealousy. Proverbs 12:12, thieves are jealous of each other's loot. I would submit to you and suggest to you this weekend that if you're a thief, you're greedy. So thieves are jealous of each other's loot, but the godly are well-rooted and bear fruit bear their own fruit, bear their own fruit, not bear fruit on their own, bear their own fruit. What it's speaking to is contentment, having contentment in what God gives us rather than being greedy and constantly being jealous of what other people have. Greedy people, man, whatever they have is never enough. They're always looking for the next thing. Thirdly, as it pertains to greed, Proverbs says, greed leads to hypocrisy. Proverbs 13:7, I love this verse. Listen to how applicational this is. So simple. Proverbs 13:7, some who are poor pretend to be rich. Others who are rich pretend to be poor. What a great verse of scripture. My grandparents used to tell me that most rich people act like they're poor. Have y'all ever heard that before? That's some wisdom right there. But what Proverbs is telling us is greedy people, sometimes people that don't even have any money, they buy things just to impress people. This kind of goes along the lines of what Dave Ramsey says. I love what he says. He says, in American culture, what we tend to do is we buy things we don't need with money we don't have to impress people that we don't even know. Y'all ever notice that? I'd go a step further and I'd say this. Sometimes in American culture, we've all been sort of guilty of this, we buy things we don't need with money we don't have, not just to impress people that we don't know, but to impress people that we don't even like. They don't even like us. Can I help you? If you have to have a certain kind of car for your friends to be your friends, they're not your friends. If you got to have a certain kind of house in order for people to be impressed with you, come on, man. Like, the book of Proverbs is preaching to us today. If the point of earning money for you is so that you can impress people, you have a major heart issue going on with money. A major heart issue. We'll get into more of it here today. Fourthly, what Proverbs says about greed, and it just straight up tells you, greed will destroy you. Greed will just, a spirit of greed, an attitude of greed will destroy you. Proverbs 1:9 says, such is the fate of all who are greedy for money. It robs them of life. What was the scripture we read last week? Don't die. Don't kill yourself trying to get rich. Some of us are trying to extract every last penny out of every transaction, and we're so stressed out, we are killing ourselves as a result of wanting more and wanting more and wanting more. How many of y'all have ever seen the movie Finding Nemo? Raise your hand, Finding Nemo. My kids do an impression of a couple of the characters on Finding Nemo, and it is the seagulls. Y'all know what the seagulls say? What do the seagulls say, y'all? Yeah, oh man. When they do that, I just want to murder them, y'all. Like, I'm like, shut up, you know? I'm going to kill y'all. They do it at the weirdest times. I don't know why. They just know it drives me crazy, I guess. I don't know. But that's what greed is. Greed is mine, mine, mine. Do it with me so I don't feel weird. Mine, 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 mine. Look at your neighbor dead in the eyes. Make it super awkward and say, mine, 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 mine. That's greed. Greed is mine. Mine, I want everything to be mine. And greed really is like, let me say it to you this way. You have the spiritual brain of a seagull if you're greedy. It blinds you. Mine, mine, I want everything to be mine. See, here's what we've got to get straight. Greed has a spirit attached to it. This is where we get into spiritual warfare. This is where we get into the side of things that we don't see. The Bible teaches us that money is going to be attached to one of two different kinds of spirits. Either the Holy Spirit is going to be guiding what you think about money and how you handle your money, or there are going to be demonic spirits that guide how you think about money and control your money. In fact, Jesus was quoted as saying this. Let me see if y'all get the actual details of this right. You cannot serve both God and, does anybody know what he said? Mammon. Mammon. Y'all are smart. You've heard me preach on this before, right? Yeah, man. Most people think he says, you cannot serve both God and money. That's not what he says. He says, Mammon. Mammon. is what Jesus says. You cannot serve that and God. Mammon was the Chaldean god of wealth that the people of his day would worship, a demonic spirit. And what he was saying to them was, you cannot allow this demonic spirit to control your wealth and at the same time worship God. We need to realize the same thing today, that we have to allow the Holy Spirit to be attached to our money, because once again, money is neutral. God can bless you with it, but it's the attitude that you have towards it. The remedy to greed is stewardship. The remedy to greed in your life is understanding that everything you have, God has given you. Everything is His. You're just doing the best you can to manage it the way He wants you to manage. You got to realize that all that you have is God's. So Proverbs talks about greed. Secondly, it talks about, I don't even know if I want to say this word. Is everybody good? Say amen.
Amen.
I'm a preacher, so I'm just the messenger. I didn't come up with the message today, okay, y'all? So everybody say, you're good, Pastor Josh. Everybody say, no matter what you say, Pastor Josh, we love you. Okay, let's say it. Okay, 1, 2, 3. No matter what you say, Pastor Josh, we love you. We'll see if y'all are lying or not, okay? Debt. What does the book of Proverbs have to say about debt? A lot. So here we are, three types of people in Proverbs. Wise people, evil people, foolish people. Debt is for foolish people. Proverbs makes this very clear. The main thing that Proverbs talks about is co-signing for someone else's debt. Three different places it tells us that co-signing for debt is foolish. Proverbs 6 says, my child, if you have put up security for a friend's debt or agreed to guarantee the debt of a stranger, if you have trapped yourself by your agreement and are caught by what you have said, follow my advice and save yourself, for you have placed yourself at your friend's mercy. Now swallow your pride. Go and beg to have your name erased. Don't put it off. Do it now. Do not rest until you do. Proverbs 11:15. There's danger in putting up security for a stranger's debt. It's safer not to guarantee another person's debt. Proverbs 17:18. It's poor judgment to guarantee another person's debt or to put up security for a friend. So co-signing someone's debt is foolish. But secondly, debt just in general is foolish according to what Proverbs tells us. In chapter 22, verse 7, it says, just as the rich rule the poor, so the borrower is servant to the lender. Better translation is, the borrower is slave to the lender. Now, as we've went through the book of Proverbs, we have referenced several times that our government really needs to hone in on some of these Proverbs that the Bible gives us and learn from them. And boy, is this one of them. The borrower is slave to the lender. Do y'all know what the national debt is right now? And that by the time we get done with church today, it's going to be like a gajillion more, you know what I mean? Like, I don't even know how to pronounce how many trillions or gajillions or whatever we're in right now. Both sides of the aisle needs to hear this Proverbs, and this is why. We live in a country that is based in freedom, but we are taught financial principles in our culture that are based in slavery. They're completely, according to Scripture, based in slavery. See, foolish people, think of right now. Wise people think down the road. Foolish people in this area of their life think, well, I want the car now. I don't want to have to wait on it. Wise people think about their financial wealth in the future. Foolish people clearly think about having a good time and short-term comfort. Wise people think about leaving a legacy. Now, let me make this very clear. Scripture does not say that debt is sinful. So going into debt is not like committing adultery. It's not fornication. It's not lying. Scripture just makes it very clear that debt is foolish. It's not wise. And in our culture, y'all, and in our world, especially in America, it is running rampant. Foolishness is running rampant. In fact, I would say this. In our culture, they will hand you several shovels to dig your grave financially with. Dig your grave financially with. There's three specific areas that this is me just giving you advice. And if you're in here and you're in middle school or you're in high school, you need to listen to every word we say. Because when you get to college, man, the debt people are waiting in the bushes, waiting to snipe you out. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Say amen. They got credit card applications and student loans and all kinds of stuff that they just can't wait to make you a slave to them. So you need to listen right now. The trifecta of death is what I call it financially. The trifecta of death. Everybody say that. Trifecta of death. It sounds like the last round of a Japanese game show, doesn't it? Like the trifecta of death. I'm trying to be dramatic for a reason because I'm trying to help you. If you can stay away from the trifecta of death, these three things, I think you can live at a level of freedom financially that will absolutely change your life. The first is cars. Cars. The average car payment in America is almost $600. The base entry level of like a truck nowadays is like 50 grand, y'all. I know people that pay for two cars in their household what they could buy a house for. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Everybody say amen. I hope you know what I'm talking about. It blows my mind. I'm like, man, what? Don't be complaining. You got a $75,000 Jeep. Don't be complaining about how you can't afford to go to McDonald's. So be careful when it comes to cars. There's the first in the trifecta of death. Secondly, be careful with college. College. The average student loans that people in America have, the average person that graduates from college is $30,000. Those things are structured in such a way that they want to keep you in debt for the rest of your life. If we were to ask, I guarantee you there would be testimonies in this room of people that it took them 20, 30, 40, maybe they still haven't paid off their student loan years and years and years. So stay away from going in debt for cars. Stay away from going in debt for college. And then stay away from credit cards. Credit cards. The average household has $6,000 in credit card debt. $6,000 in credit card debt. Stay away from it. There's a reason why the credit card companies have the biggest buildings, why their CEOs get the fattest bonuses, is because they've got people that are paying for it. They're enslaved to them. They are completely enslaved to them. I would additionally say that we need to recognize this in America that, I may make you mad if I say this, but you'll get over it. It's my sermon. I'll preach it how I want. So, you know, go start your own church if you get mad, okay? The reason this insane Marxism socialist idea is floating around America today, I believe one of the main reasons is because of the way we do our finances. Because at the core of the idea is people that have made irresponsible decisions financially that expect someone else to come in and bail them out. I signed my name, but I hope I get forgiveness from the government. Listen, just because you don't have to pay for it doesn't mean somebody doesn't. You know who gets to pay for it? When you don't take responsibility, the people that work their butts off to pay their loans off, the people that work their butts off and maybe didn't even go to college, the people that have killed themselves every day and they have a job and they work hard, it's totally and completely antithetical to what Scripture says. It's completely unbiblical and we need to recognize it. Y'all love that point, so I'm going to move on. I like what one person said. If you think no one cares if you're alive, try missing a couple of car payments. Yeah. Is that true, y'all? I mean, let's just call a spade a spade. The car dealership, they're not going to have a runaway slave. They're going to hunt you down. See, when we use this language, it gets a little more real, doesn't it? The credit card company, they're not going to let a slave run off without punishing you, without making an example. because you're a slave to the lender. Peter Ustinov, who is an actor in Europe, pretty famous actor, somebody asked him one time, why did you do a commercial for American Express, which was a credit card company? And this is what he said. The only reason I did a commercial for American Express is so I could pay my American Express bill. Now, doesn't that encapsulate how many of us are? Some of us are killing ourselves. The only reason we work is to pay debt off. The only reason we have two or three jobs. The only reason we're not getting enough sleep. The only reason we can't spend enough time with our kids is because we're killing ourselves. We're slaves to this thing called debt. So Proverbs makes it clear that debt is foolish. Thirdly, Proverbs has a lot to say about this subject, poverty culture. Poverty culture. Now, we are in a small mountain town on the plateau. Small town, a mountain town. Poverty culture. We need to hear what the book of Proverbs has to say about this, Crossville, because this is very important. Many times when we talk about poverty culture, most people think that we're just talking about financial wealth. Most people think that when you talk about poverty culture, you're talking about poor people versus rich people, and the poor people are the people in poverty, but that's not all it is. As we're going to see, the book of Proverbs teaches us that poverty culture really is a mindset. It's an attitude that we have. It's not just about being poor, okay? So I grew up poor. Did anybody grow up poor? Anybody in here grow up poor? Raise your hand. Did you grow up poor? Anybody in here? Raise your hands up, y'all. Hey, come on now. Man, I grew up so poor, I couldn't even pay attention. Y'all know what I'm saying? I remember I grew up so poor that my mom would make me and my sister eat cereal with a fork so we could reuse the milk. Anybody know what I'm talking about? We were so poor growing up that when somebody drove up in our driveway, I had to go out in the yard and run around and bark because we couldn't afford a dog, y'all. You know what I mean? When they went up on our porch and rang the doorbell, we couldn't get the doorbell fixed, so my sister would stick her head out the window and say, ding dong, y'all know what I'm saying? We were poor. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? White bread was sandwich bread, hot dog bun. Anybody been there? White bread was a hamburger bun. It was a pizza crust. It was biscuit. What else, y'all? What else do you use white bread for? I don't know. Garlic bread, cinnamon sugar toast. You know what I mean? Like, we use white bread for everything. Put some white bread on it. It'll make it okay. We were so poor, the ducks used to throw bread at us when we go to the lake. Y'all know what I mean? It's not just about being poor. Okay, y'all? It's about a mindset. Listen, number one, laziness leads to poverty. Laziness leads to poverty. Proverbs 6, 10 through 11, a little extra sleep, a little more slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, then poverty will pounce on you like a, listen to the language it uses, like a bandit. Poverty can grab a hold. It's like you're getting beat down, mugged in an alleyway, y'all. Scarcity will attack you like an armed robber. Proverbs 10, 4 through 5, lazy people are soon poor, hard workers get rich. It's amazing that the Bible tells us this groundbreaking stuff, that if you want to get wealthy, if you need money, there's this amazing place that you can go. It really is amazing. It's called work. And when you go to work, you do this thing called a job. And when you do this job, they reward you with these green things called dollars. And then you can take those dollars and you can go pay your bills. And you can go buy donuts. And you can go to Cracker Barrel. And you can go get ice cream. It's the third service. We're hungry, ain't we, y'all? So get all kinds of good stuff, man. If you go to work. Robert Orton said this, every day I get up and look through the Forbes list of the richest people in America. If I'm not there, I go to work. It's kind of what the book of Proverbs is saying, right? If you don't find yourself on the list of the richest people in America, get up, get a job, go to work. I kind of feel like I sound like your grandpa today. But your grandpa had some good advice. And your grandpa looked at you and said, get off your butt, go get a job, and go do something with your life. You don't need mommy and daddy to bail you out. You don't need the government to bail you out. You don't need your boss to bail you out. You don't need your friends to bail you out. God has given every person in here an ability, talents and gifts. So let me put this as sensitive as I can. Get off your rear end and go do something with yourself. This is the word of the Lord to you today, to say, stop making excuses. Get to work. And look at your work as worship. Most people don't know this, but the Hebrew word in the Old Testament that's used for work is the same core word that we use to translate into worship. So your work is actually worship. Some of y'all hate going in. You hate Mondays. When I was on social media, I'd see all the memes. Mondays are the worst. Monday. The problem is we're thinking of Mondays as going to work. Instead, what we should think of is Monday is going to worship God. That's what you're doing when you work. He's given you abilities. He's given you talents. He's given you gifts to be able to worship him. Whatever you find in your right hand, do it with all your might. Amen. Man, get to work. View your work as worship. View your work as evangelism. View your work as honoring God with everything you do. So laziness leads to poverty. Number two, unrealistic expectations lead to poverty. Proverbs 12, 11, and 28, 19 say the exact same thing. A hard worker has plenty of food, but a person who chases fantasies has no sense. Chases fantasies has no sense. So unrealistic expectations, chasing fantasies leads to poverty. I had a young person come to me one time and tell me that they wanted to play video games to make a living. And I was like, hey, nothing wrong with video games. Nothing wrong. I'm not hating on video games at all, but there's only probably 10 people in the whole world that make a good living at playing video games. So rather than betting it all that you're going to play Call of Duty and go be a millionaire in all these tournaments and stuff like that, you may want to have a backup plan. Does that make sense to everybody? Say amen. So go to Colinks, get a job. Y'all know what I'm saying? Like, stop chasing fantasies. Hey, I loved working out. When I turned 18 years old, I started working out. But I quickly became aware I can't be a bodybuilder and make like money at this. I'd be chasing fantasies. Be very careful in trying to turn your hobbies into careers. Very careful. Now, I do need to say this and back this up because that was all I was thinking about this and praying about it. When we started this church, we knew God was calling us to do this, and the majority of people thought we'd lost our minds. The majority of people looked at us and said, "You're crazy." But we had an inner circle of people that we knew loved us and loved Jesus, and they said, "You guys can do this." We bathed it in prayer. We read Scripture and said, "Are we doing anything that Scripture says that we shouldn't do?" And we found that we weren't. And then here's a big thing. Here's a big thing. My wife and I were on the exact same page when we started this church. So sometimes God will tell you to do things, but look for those things. You're not just making emotional decisions. You're not just being selfish. You've got wise counsel around you. Your wife is on board with you. Your husband's on board. Guys, I'm in here to tell you, like, if you try to turn one of your hobbies into a career and you go to your wife and she says, "Are you smoking crack? Get back to work." Get back to work. Don't pursue that. Everybody with me? Say amen. Just some wisdom for you, okay? Just some wisdom for you. So there are those instances, but don't have unrealistic expectations. Don't chase fantasies, as the book of Proverbs says. Third, gambling leads to poverty. Proverbs 13:11, wealth from get-rich schemes quickly disappears. Wealth from hard work grows over time. You know what this means? Here's what it means. Really simply put, the casino never loses, y'all. So if you're going there thinking you're going to get rich, you're not. The lottery has never went bankrupt. And the jackpots keep getting bigger and bigger and bigger. Why? Because they ain't losing money. This get-rich-quick stuff does not happen. I like what Jeff Foxworthy says. If you know who Jeff Foxworthy is, he's the guy who does all the redneck jokes. And a lot of his jokes really speak to like poverty culture. He says, smart people have a 401k. Rednecks play the lottery. You know what I mean? Like, that's our retirement plan. Man, if I could just win the lottery, I'll be set for life. Then I'll be good. No, you wouldn't be. Because what you need is more wisdom, not more money. You need more wisdom. In fact, they've done studies before that have shown people that have won the lottery within 3 to 5 years of winning the lottery are almost always bankrupt. You significantly increase your chance. You know why? Because you can throw money at something. This is why socialism doesn't work. You can throw money at something, but without wisdom, It does absolutely nothing but make things worse. Proverbs 28:20, the trustworthy person will get a rich reward, but a person who wants quick riches will get in trouble. Proverbs 14, work brings profit, but mere talk leads to poverty. Wealth is a crown for the wise. The effort of fools yields only foolishness. Fourthly, as it pertains to poverty culture, broken relationships lead to poverty. Wealth makes many friends. Poverty drives them all away. A trait of poverty culture is that you always have drama in your relationships. There's always fussing and fighting. There's always somebody arguing about what they owe each other and all these different things. Fifthly, not having a plan leads to poverty. Proverbs 21, good planning and hard work lead to prosperity, but hasty shortcuts lead to poverty. Wealth created by a lying tongue is a vanishing mist and a deadly trap. We talked about this a little last week. Wise people know the state of their flocks. They know they're on a budget. Their financial house is in order. They don't have lazy bookkeeping. They know what they've got coming in. They know what they've got going out because they're a steward for God. They're trying to make sure they're putting it where He wants them to put it. And so they're living on a budget. They're doing these things. They have a plan. And then sixth, con people, con artists end up in poverty. Proverbs 22:16, a person who gets ahead by oppressing the poor or by showering gifts on the rich will end up in poverty. There are no shortcuts as it pertains to being wealthy. If you're praying that you can one day be blessed by God with finances, there are no shortcuts to it. Work hard, don't despise small beginnings, and do what you need to do in order to gain the wisdom so that when God does bless you with it, you'll know what to do with it. Does that make sense to everybody? Say amen. Amen. The baby gets it. Y'all know what I mean? So y'all over here know what I'm talking about. That kid's like, amen. That's right. Future worship leader right there. Fourthly, most importantly, fourth major point, it's real similar to the one we made last week. Money is not the most important thing. Money is not. Now listen, Zig Ziglar once famously said, money's like air. You got to have it to live. I get that. But it's not the most important thing. Proverbs 11:28, trust in your money and down you go, but the godly flourish like leaves in spring. And that's good. Trust in your money and down you go. I think it was Pastor Brennan several weeks ago preached out of Proverbs. And what did he tell us? Where's our trust supposed to be, y'all? Where's our trust supposed to be, y'all? Y'all answer me. Where's our trust supposed to be? Yeah. In the Lord, in Jesus, in God. We trust fully and completely in Him. And if He can take care of the birds of the air, if He can take care of everything on this earth, and we know He absolutely will take care of His kids. We know He'll provide everything that we need. Proverbs 11:16 says, a gracious woman gains respect, but ruthless men gain only wealth. Evil people get rich for the moment, but, and here's the key, the reward of the godly will last. Proverbs 11:23, the godly can look forward to a reward. Everybody say reward. Reward, while the wicked can expect only judgment. If you're new to this whole Christianity thing, and new to church and new to the Bible, we want you to understand something about us that call ourselves Christians. We believe and know that our citizenship is not ultimately in the United States of America, that we have a home that we're looking forward to going to one day that we call heaven. And I can't wait to get there. Can y'all wait to get there? And what we're doing on this earth as it pertains to our resources and our finances and our wealth is we are, as believers in Jesus and believers of the Bible, laying for ourselves not treasures up here on earth, but instead what we're doing is we're trying to lay treasures in heaven. We're trying to do everything we can to do what Jesus tells us to do. And we're not perfect. We're not perfect. We all got that in common. How many of y'all have done dumb stuff with money before? Raise your hand, okay? Every one of us has. If your neighbor didn't raise their hand, look at them and point at them and say, liar. Well, we're trying to lay up treasure in heaven. We look forward to the day when we get to go home and be with Jesus and get our eternal reward. Amen, Rev Church. Can I get a good amen? Amen. That's what we can't wait for. And that's what drives us in this life now, is knowing that in the next life, we get rewarded. That's where our joy comes from. Billy Graham famously said this, "Pleasure depends on circumstances, but Christian joy is completely independent of health, money, and surroundings." Our happiness does not come from a paycheck. It does not come from a bank account. Our happiness comes from nothing in this world. Our joy is in the one and only Savior we have, named Jesus. We believe this, y'all. We believe this, if you're new to this whole thing. We believe you can have everything the world has to offer. Everything. All the cars, all the houses, all the money, all the stuff that you've ever thought you wanted. And you can have all that stuff, and without Jesus, you don't have anything. But we believe if we don't have anything the world has to offer, nothing the world has to offer, but we have Christ in our lives, we have more than we could ever imagine. Amen, Rev Church. Amen. So we want you to know this, because Proverbs says, "The rich and the poor have this in common. The Lord made them both." What that means is the Bible does not see rich people and poor people. The Bible does not see black people and white people. God doesn't look down and even see male and female. You know what they see? You know what God sees? He sees godly and ungodly. He sees lost and saved. Those that know Jesus is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and He rules and reigns forever and ever, amen. And those that say, "I can't get on board with that." Those that just follow religion, but they don't give Christ everything. Our hope for you this weekend, as we've preached on money the last 2 weeks, is that God could use what we've said as a litmus test for you. Because a very good indicator of where you're at on this side, it's very binary. God is binary. It's not a spectrum, y'all. Saved and lost, not in between. A good indicator of where you're at on this thing is where your money is. A good indicator of where your heart is it with Jesus or not, is where your treasure is. It's where your treasure is. And our prayer for you is that you do not gain the whole world, but lose your soul. Some of you need Christ because you worship your money. Your money is your God in your life. You need to be set free. You need Jesus. Let me pray for you guys. Lord, we love you. We thank you for today. I pray for every single person in here, God. I pray for those in here that are in danger of judgment. For those in here that are under the influence of a spirit of mammon, a spirit of greed. Those in here that right when they heard we were going to be talking about money, they tuned it out. And that demonic spirit started to place thoughts in their head and whisper in their ear that they shouldn't listen. I pray, God, that you perform a miracle in their lives. And that they turn to you. I pray you give them the strength to be obedient, to surrender everything to Christ. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Amen. We love you guys.
If you're encouraged by today's message, be sure and rate us and subscribe on iTunes.